Penguin Random House Audio presents Trio, a novel by William Boyd. Read for you by Imani Jade Powers. For Susan. Most people live their real, most interesting life under the cover of secrecy. Anton Chekhov. There is only one serious philosophical problem, and that is suicide. Deciding whether or not life is worth living is to answer the fundamental question in philosophy. All other questions follow from that. Albert Camus. Duplicity. Brighton, England, 1968. Chapter 1. Elfrieda Wing stirred, grunted, and shifted sleepily in her bed as the summer's angled morning sun brightened the room, printing a skewed rectangle of lemony gold light onto the olive-green flecked wallpaper close by her pillow. Elfrieda, wakened by the glare inching towards her, opened her eyes and considered the wallpaper, bringing it into focus with some difficulty, trying to force her comatose brain to work, to think. As usual, on waking she felt absolutely terrible. In front of her eyes, small sharp leaves seemed to be depicted there, in a stylized manner, she decided. Or were they birds? Bird shapes? Or perhaps they were simply daubs and splatters of olive green that brought leaves and birds to mind. No matter. Leaves, birds, or random flecks. Who really cared in the great scheme of things? She eased herself out of bed and slowly pulled on her dressing gown over her pajamas. She slipped down the stairs as quietly as possible, wincing at each creak, hands securely gripping the banister, trying to ignore the awful, hill-cracking headache that, now she was upright, had begun thumping behind her eyes, making them bulge rhythmically in sympathy, or so she felt. Then she remembered Reggie was long gone, up at first light, off to his film. She could relax. She paused, coughed, then farted noisily, and finished her descent of the staircase with careless din, striding into the kitchen and flinging open the fridge door, looking for her orange juice. She scissored off the top of a carton and poured herself half a tumblerful before turning to the condiment cupboard and removing the bottle of Sarsen's white vinegar that she kept there behind the pack of sugar. She added a sizable slug to her orange juice. Sometimes she wished vodka had more flavour, like gin, but she recognised at the same time that its very neutrality was her greatest ally. Vodka and tap water in a tumbler was her daily tipple when Reggie was around. He never questioned her near-constant thirst, luckily, and never wondered why there was always a considerable stock of Sarsen's white vinegar in the cupboard. Elfrieda sat down at the kitchen table and sipped at her vodka and orange juice, finishing it quickly, and then poured herself another, feeling the buzz, the reassuring hit. Her headache was disappearing already. The title of a novel came mysteriously, unbidden, into her head. The Zigzag Man. She could almost see the cover in her mind's eye, a clever use of the two Zs, perhaps different colours for the zig and the zag. She poured herself more orange juice and went back to the cupboard for the Sarsens, emptying the last half inch into the glass. Better buy another bottle of Voddy, she told herself. Or two. She found her notebook and wrote the title down, The Zigzag Man by Elfrieda Wing. She had noted dozens of titles for potential novels she saw, flicking back through the pages. There they were. The Summer of the Wasps, Freezy, The Acrobat, Drop Dead Gorgeous, A Week in Madrid, The Golden Rule, Dark Eulogy, Jazz, Spring Equinox, The Lightning Process, Cool Sun, Mystery in a Small Town, Estranged, Artist's Entrance, Berlin to Hamburg, The Windrow, The Riviera Gap, a safe onward journey, falling away, title after title of unwritten novels. And now the Zigzag Man could be added to their number. Titles were the easy bit. Writing the novel was the awful challenge. She sipped her juice, feeling sad all of a sudden. It was now over 10 years since her last novel had been published, she remembered ruefully, The Big Show, published in the spring of 1958. 10 long years, and not a word of fiction written. Just list after list of titles. She finished her juice, feeling a numbness overwhelm her, tears stinging her eyes. Stop thinking about bloody novels, she told herself angrily. Have another drink. Chapter 2. Talbot Kidd woke abruptly from his dream. In his dream, he had been standing on a wide beach, and a young man, naked, was walking out of the modest surf, waving at him. He sat up, still half asleep, still in a dream daze, taking in his surroundings. Yes, he was in a hotel, of course, not at home. Another hotel. Sometimes he thought he had spent half his life in hotels. Anyway, he didn't really care. The room was generously large and the bathroom functioned perfectly. It was all he needed for his stay. London was close. That was the main thing. Now he swung his legs out of the bed and stood up, slowly, blinking, and rubbed his face, hearing his alarm go off. 6 o'clock. What an absurd time to start your day, he thought, as he always did when his impossible job made these demands. He stood, stretched, carefully, raising his arms above his head for a few seconds as if trying to touch the ceiling, hearing joints crack satisfyingly, and then pottered through to the bathroom. As he lay in his bath, steam rising, he thought again of the dream he'd been having. Was it a dream or was it a memory? Pleasingly erotic, anyway, and about a young man, pale and limber. Or was it Kit, his brother? Or was it someone he'd actually photographed, perhaps, one of his models? He could remember the body, but not the face. He tried to recover more details, but the dream memories wouldn't coalesce, and the young man remained immovably generic, alluring, slim, unidentifiable. He shaved, he dressed, classic charcoal grey suit, white shirt, his East Sussex Light Infantry regimental tie, and ran his 2 brushes through the near-white wings of hair above his ears. The bathroom ceiling lights gleamed brightly on his freckled baldness. Bald at 25, his father had once observed. I do hope you're my child. It had been an unkind remark to make to a young man self-conscious about his early hair loss, Talbot thought, recalling his father, who had dense, straw-coloured hair, driven back from his forehead in tight waves, like a man facing into a gale. But then kindness was not a virtue you'd ever associate with Peveril Kidd, so perhaps the slur was evidence of genuine suspicion. He took the stairs down to the dining room and breakfast, expunging thoughts of the old bastard from his mind. Peveril Kidd, dead 2 decades now. Good. Fuck him and his shade. He was almost alone in the dining room of the Grand, as it was so early. A middle-aged couple in tweeds, a plump man with hair down to his shoulders, smoking, were his 3 companions. Talbot ordered and consumed his habitual kipper, drank 4 cups of tea, ate 2 slices of white toast and raspberry jam, all the while idly watching a rhomboid of sunlight on the maroon carpet slowly turn itself into an isosceles triangle. A sunny day, perfect for Beachy Head. He had nearly finished his 5th cup of tea when his line producer, Joe Swire, appeared, and ordered a pot of coffee from the pretty young waitress with the port wine.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?